And now it's time for Shelf Life, news from the Wichert Stouffville Public Library, with your host, librarian Catherine Sword.
Hello, everyone, and today is an author visit, and we have with us traveler Jim Scott with Volume 1 of his trilogy. Now, this is one of those odd things where the library has Volume 3 and Volume 1. Volume 2 isn't quite out yet. Jim, would you like to tell us a little bit about the timeline there?
I'm hoping that it's going to come off the presses September, October of this year. Unfortunately, Volume 3 jumped the queue.
It did.
And that's why they're all out of sequence.
And Volume 3 was a book of poetry. Volume 1 is poetry and stories of your travels.
That's correct.
That's right.
Travels from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And before we were on air, you started to tell me an interesting definition or a distinction between the idea of tourist versus traveler. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I've realized this over the years that looking at travelers and tourists and trying to define what differentiates them, a tourist can go away for 2 years and still be a tourist, whereas a traveler could just go away for the weekend and still be a traveler. The difference being that a traveler leaves as much of his own culture behind as he can when he leaves and goes to the new place seeking the culture of the place that he's going to, whereas a tourist has a tendency to take as much of his own culture with him and look for as much of his own culture when he gets there. Mm-hmm. So big difference between the two.
Yes. And I think then it's fair to say that your books are more about the traveler.
Oh, absolutely. When I go anywhere, I try to get into the culture of the place that I'm going to, as you'll see from a lot of the stories in the book.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, you begin actually your book with a poem that I think nicely introduces the book to readers. Shall we start with that poem?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll just talk into it for a couple of seconds here. I've seen a lot of things and understood a lot of facets of many wonderful cultures, and that's changed my view on many things. And I tend to see things a bit differently in many cases from those people from my own cultural background. And I find sometimes it's very difficult to get those views across, even though I know they're right because I've seen them for real. So the poem's all about that and trying to encourage other people to open their minds up a little bit, which is pretty much what the book's about as well.
Great, so let's have that poem.
The question is not what you look at, but how you look and whether you see. That was written by Thoreau. They that don't belong. I've read in others' words about the ones that don't belong. They're products of a lost or broken mold, who've walked against the wind in ways that seem, to many, wrong, and live a story few would want retold. I understand that outcast breed, for I am from their kind, who are neither bad or good, nor wrong or right, just folks who chose a different life, so grew a different mind, that understand the world through eyes that see with different sight. I've wandered over many lands, absorbing every change of culture, climate, habitat, and friend, and garnered such experience that others might find strange the norms my understandings now transcend. For I can draw from not just one but many different views that most who criticize me cannot see. So few support the varied rationales that I might choose, for they've not benefited from the molds that fashioned me. Such insights often leave me on my own, and out of reach, unable to discuss with most such thought. And where I might have much that I could give and share and teach, I find there's few who'll hear the words I've brought. With me it's not an issue, though, of whether I belong. It's where I do they find hard to concede. For it's their narrow-mindedness that's truly what is wrong, for not accepting different views that life has well decreed. Those views were learned from wayward paths that taught me how to look. From different angles, no truths are sustained. I welcomed each alternative from every path I took, awareness from each new experience gained. I also learned there's little one can do to reach the mind of those whose views prevent them being wise, for though they think they might belong, the chances are they're blind to all they could belong to if they look through different eyes.
Thank you, Jim. That was really lovely. And I think it does set up for the listeners out there that this will be a different kind of travel experience reading this particular book. Now, you do one thing that I think will surprise readers. Why do you use the third person?
Well, it's because I haven't used any names at all in the stories, and the stories are all true. So I just want people to be able to say that was them who are comfortable with that. I don't want everybody to know who is in the book. And kind of in the same vein, I thought I'd put myself in the third person as well. Not because I want to be anonymous, because my name's on the front cover.
Yes.
But I found it much easier to keep everybody else anonymous if I wasn't sort of named as well. And also, I reflect upon the stories. So it's much easier to reflect upon the stories from a third person perspective than from a first person perspective.
Well, as you're describing that, I'm realizing as I'm reading some of these things, I feel less like I'm reading about your adventure and more I'm reading about an experience. And I can put myself in there a little easier. So maybe that actually might be a benefit of third person in this case.
I think so. I think people can associate themselves more with an anonymous entity than they can with a specific one. And if I was saying me, 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 I all the way through, then the story would definitely be about me. But the reflections I put in afterwards, I want people to relate to themselves personally. And as you said, put themselves in that position. What would they be thinking? How would they have handled that situation? Which is much easier to do when you feel as if you don't know the person that the story is about.
Yes, yes. Now, also, when I was reading through, I realized that it's about three different things for me. People, place, and time. And I think you would say there's a fourth.
I would add culture to that as well. The time aspect, the different stories span 40 years of my life. So definitely there's changes there. When I go somewhere, for me, the culture of the society as well as the individual groups of people is just as important as the beauty of the land. And as we said a little while ago, that's the difference between a traveler. The traveler seeks the culture of the place, and that is where the heart and soul of a country is. It's not in the cities, you know, every city is the same. It's out in the wild. It's with the indigenous people. It's where the story of that country, where the history of that country came from, and where the ways of its people evolved. That is the heart of the country that you go to, and that is what I always try and look for.
Mm-hmm. And you have, I don't know how you managed to get into some wonderful opportunities, like the one in South America, where you get into the place without the tourists. Wow, how did you pull that one off?
Well, that was Machu Picchu. My life's been a series of really good luck, actually. I was at the time living with a very beautiful Peruvian girl. We're in the British Virgin Islands, and I had to go to Colombia for a conference in the shipping industry. And she said, well, if you're that close to my home, why not just fly across the Andes and I'll go down there and we can
just
have some adventures.
Just fly across the Andes. Okay.
So she sort of lined up this 3 or 4 weeks of just hiking through the Andes, which was absolutely wonderful. I could have spent 3 or 4 years there. We ended up in Machu Picchu and we rented a small place the night before. We wanted to get in early in the morning. And she actually slunk away in the evening. She bribed the guards to let us in before dawn, before the tourists came in. Because, you know, she spoke the language and she knew the culture. Again, yes. There's that cultural thing. And she was able to relate to them. And they let us in and they locked the gates behind us. And we had Machu Picchu all to ourselves as the dawn rose.
Right.
It was just the most amazing and I think the most spiritual experience I've ever had in my life.
Okay. Well, actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to explore that just a little bit more because this is one of the places in your book, and you have a book, where is it, 5 continents and mm-hmm. 3 oceans you're traveling, so you cover a lot.
Yeah.
But getting to that place, it's more than the tourist experience, it's the traveler experience. Do you mind talking a little bit about what you felt when you went in there? Because it's a very feeling story.
We took a wrong turning and ended up on top of a small peak that overlooked Machu Picchu just as the clouds were rolling in from the Urubamba Valley. And for a while, Machu Picchu was actually blotted out beneath us. We couldn't see Machu Picchu below us, even though we were sort of inside the ground, so to speak. And I was actually reading one of my favorite poems called The Heights of Machu Picchu by Pablo Neruda.
Okay.
And he really got into the spiritual side of the peasants, the artisans, the real people of Machu Picchu. And I was reading this, and his words, English translation, I have to add.
Yes,
okay. Spanish isn't that good. But his words just evoked all these images in me, which I don't think would have happened had I not been experiencing this mythical sort of dawn at Machu Picchu myself. But I could almost see and feel the people that he was describing, and it was just the most amazing feeling.
And that was an amazing story, I found, because of that, because it was so foreign to me that I know that I couldn't experience that myself if I went there. Partly I'd be with a tourist group. But that was a really neat perspective on that place in the world. I really enjoyed that.
Experiences like that open up your mind to a lot of things. And that's one of the beauties of traveling as a traveler, is that you tend to find yourself in all sorts of experiences that other people don't necessarily have the opportunity to see. And that's what alters your perspective on things. That's what helps you see through different windows, if you will, and doesn't necessarily make you wiser. It just makes you understand things differently and opens up your mind. So when you get yourself into other situations, your mind is that much wider. Yeah. You're that much more open to seeing things differently. And it's amazing what you can see if only you know how to look.
May I ask how old you were at that point? Where in the 40-year span? Younger, older?
Yeah, I was in my late 30s then, I think. I still had some hair that wasn't white.
Okay. Because I think sometimes the age that we experience these things has an impact on it as
does.
Well.
It does. Like a few years before that, I found myself in the bush in what was then Rhodesia, just before it became Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And the bush war was in full-fledged then. And that was, again, another set of experiences that a lot of people don't get a chance to go through, and hopefully never will have to go through them, because some of them weren't that nice. But I was a younger man then, and the idea of a bush war to a younger man is totally different than the idea of a bush war would be to me now. Yeah. I mean, I'd run in the opposite direction now, but back then, when I had the opportunity just to travel with my backpack through an area that was at war, I thought, wow, that's a good opportunity.
Oh.
I wouldn't do that now, though.
Oh, wow. Actually, I have not finished reading other stories. Is there a story of that in this volume?
There's three.
Well, but okay, I've got good things to look forward to.
But they're not necessarily about the war. The war is in the background. The actual stories that happened are not necessarily war-related, although the war is always a factor in the
Actually, I think that's what I'm appreciating about reading your book. Two things. One, that you're not going to give me all the facts. I can look that up in a nonfiction book. You're going to give me the feeling of something that's in there. And the other thing is, you've probably guessed, I'm flipping through, picking what I want. I'm finding that because you say there's a 40-year span, but it's not linear. It's not chronological.
Deliberately so.
Right. And I can pick and choose as I go. If I've only got a few minutes, I pick a short one. If I've got a little longer, I pick. And I'm amazed what just comes up. But we're going to have to go to a quick station break and come back, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the timing.
That sounds good to me.